Okay, boys. So today's daf is daf Mem Ches. We're up to seven lines from the top of the Yomid. A lot of what we're going to learn today is going to be a bit of a chazor of what we learned yesterday with Rav and Shmuel, as we'll see shortly. But initially, the Gemara quotes now from the Mishnah, Omer lechenveni ten li bediner peiros. Now, if you recall, let's take a quick look back at what we had in the Mishnah, that a machloik is between the Tanakama and Reb Yehuda, in a case where there was a dispute between the customer and the grocer, the balabais and the chenveni. What was the dispute? The customer wanted to go and buy the dinner peiros. And guess what? The chenveni said, here, go and take all the peiros. Now the chenveni said, nu, wo is de geld? Where's the dinner that you're supposed to pay? I'm on mem, hey, omen, aleph. Those that want to try to track this in the Gemara or in the Mishnah. It's about 15 lines from the top of the Yomid. 15 lines. Omer lechenveni tenli bediner. 15 lines. 17 lines from the top of the Yomid. He said to the chenveni, tenli bediner peiros. I'd like to go and buy peiros worth a dinner. Venosalei. And he gave him all the peiros. Omeloi. And now the chenveni says, nu, tenli ois a dinner. Pay me. Omeloi. He says, are you nuts? Nesatim loch. You wouldn't give me the peiros without giving me the money first. I gave you the money. You already put it into your bag or into your cash register. You have it. So who's right and who's wrong? Says the Tanakama, Yeshova Baal Habayis, the Baal Habos, the customer makes a shvuah. Shenosalei says, dinner, he already handed over the dinner. And then he's potter. He goes home with the peiros. Skipping two lines. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Kol Sha Peiros B'yodo Yode Alo Yoyna. All you have to do is see who's holding on to the peiros. Since in that first case, who was holding on to the peiros? The Baal HaBos, his Yod Ala Yoyna, says Rashi, and therefore he does not have to make a Shvuah. Don't have to make a Shvuah. Zero. And then the Mishnah repeated the exact same case, almost verbatim, but not a Chenveni in a customer, but a Shulchani in a customer. Shulchani, of course, being a money changer. And again, the same type of scenario. Tenli b'dinner, Mois, I want change of my dinner. V'nosaloi. And the Shulchani handed over the Mois. And now the Shulchani says, no, no, tenli is a dinner. Give me the dinner. Amaloi nesati l'cha. Don't you remember I gave this to you 5 minutes ago before you started counting out the small change, the prutois. V'nosati b'unpulin. You put it into your cash register. You put it into your bag. What's the din? Skipping again two, three lines. First, what did the Balabas say? Sorry. Yishba Balabais. The Balabais makes a shvuah that he already paid the dinner, and he's off the hook. Just like we said before. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, again skipping the two lines. Ein derech shulchani litan iser achiyito dinner. That's not the way things work. Normally, the shulchani is not going to pay you out a nickel until you first give him the larger denomination. And then he says, okay, you gave me the $100 bill, I'll give you 20s, I'll give you 10s, I'll give you 5s. But you got to go and give me the first major denomination first. So what do we have in both cases? Both the case of the chenveni and the case of the shulchani. In both cases, we had the same type of dispute. Did the customer give the dinner in advance, yes or no? Tanakama says in both cases, the customer has to make a shvuah that I already gave you the dinner. And in both cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to worry. A chenveni doesn't give you the peiros, and the shulchani doesn't give you the mo'is until he gets paid initially, and therefore the balabas does not need to make a shvuah. Good.
Then take the money and goodbye.
Exactly. So now that we have that, first we're going to focus on the chenveni case. And we're going to bring a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit more, explains a little bit more his shita. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah? You don't have to worry. Wherever the peiros are, if you don't have the peiros in your rishus, then the other guy is the hamoitzi mechaveru olav araya. And so therefore, if the customer is holding on to the peiros, he does not have to make a shvuah. Tanya, so the braisa of Rabbi Yehuda. Ein mesai, when did we say in our Mishnah that the Tanakhama says the Baal HaBos should make the Shvuah bizman shapeiros tziburun u'menochen u'shnein oiren aleihem? If the customer does not have possession of the peiros yet, rather in front of the grocery on the sidewalk, you have a bunch of boxes full of peiros, and they're now negotiating to go and take possession of the payers, and he's going to go and pay for the payers. So then you have a dispute. The balabas says, okay, I want to give you the payers, but where's the money? And, I'm sorry, the chenveni says, I want to give you the payers, where's the money? And the balabas says, I already gave you the money. Then the Tanakama Bar Misha said, make a shvur. If already we have dispensed all of the payers, and they're now in the bag, in the sack, or in modern-day terms, they're already in the trunk of the balabas's car, then a moitzvah override, and the balabas no longer has to go make a shvur, because the chenvi would never allow him to go and take possession of the goods without his first paying the money. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, in the case of the Mishnah, where the payers are tzibur, and they don't belong to anybody yet, yeah, make a shvur, that's fine. Because maybe he didn't get the chenvi, he didn't get the money yet, because he didn't hand over the goods yet. The goods are still there in the tzibburim, in a heap and a pile on the sidewalk. However, once they're in the rishus of the customer, we have aloch aloish mamoitzu chalaparaya, and the customer no longer has to make any shvur. But then we said that the Mishnah repeats the same case with the shulchani. In the Kfreiti Mori at Utricha, what do I have to have both the case of the chenvi and the shulchani? Says Imar, it's very easy. I ashmin and hokamaisif. We'd only have the first case in the Mishnah by the chenvi. B'hach ami rabbanan. There the rabbanan say that the customer has to make a shvua that he already paid. Why? Shum de peiri avidi de merkavi. We know that peiris can rot. They can spoil. The kim in the merkavi, and since they are on the, they're in the path to eventually rot, even they're not rotten yet, but they will. Exactly. And since times of the essence, mashile, the chenvini is not going to hold back the peiris until he gets his dinner. But rather, he says, oh, you want to have a dinner payers? Sure. Open up the back of your trunk and put in as many payers as possible. Take them, take them, take them, sure. I'd like you to take as many as you can, and then you'll give me the money. Ah, that's when the Rabbanan say that if the customer said, I already paid you, make a shvur. Ava moistel in Merkabah, when you're talking about taking the $100 bill and he's going and giving him exchange of 5 20s or 10 tens or whatever it is, those smaller denominations are not going to rot. They're not going to go bad. So maybe Rabbanu would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that there's no reason on earth that the Shulchani should start handing out the smaller denominations until he gets the bigger denomination. And so therefore he would agree. The customer doesn't have to make any shvua. You know for a fact that the Shulchani already took the larger bill and he is very happy with it. So you don't have to make a shvua. Yeah?
In two, three minutes, that Peros will spoil is not an argument. No judge will accept such an argument that in 2-3 minutes, Peros are merkavim.
You're 100% right. Nobody assumes that they're going to rot in 2 minutes. What we're saying is that the chenvini knows that his produce that he has in his market goes bad. It doesn't go bad immediately within 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but it will go bad over time. He looks for customers. Yeah, about it. And he's looking for customers to come and buy these payers and take them off of his hands before he gets the next load, next shipment. Exactly right. So when a customer comes and says to him, Mister, I want to go and buy 5 pounds of potatoes or tomatoes or whatever it happens to be, sure, absolutely, you can take 10 pounds.
It's like,
you know,
a store making a sale before the next merchandise.
Yeah, in a sense, exactly. I want to get rid of the schoida so it shouldn't go bad. Not that it's going to go bad in 2 minutes.
That's where the chenvini sells on credit to people.
Exactly, for the same
reason. The chenvini never gives money on credit.
Very good.
As it were. I mean, it's a loan. It's not money change. But a chenvini will, chenvini alpen kasso. He advances the po'alim, the food, and then the Baal Bais has to pay afterwards. So he advances commonly to move the inventory.
So his Yetzirah tells the chenvini, try to get out the payers as quickly as possible. And this customer is a reliable guy. I'm sure as soon as you put all the payers in the back of his car, he's going to go and pay you. Now the customer says, I paid you already. Say the chacham, then you have to go make a shvur. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, you don't have to go make a shvur. Even if the person wants to unload all of his chayra, he's still going to want to get his money first. So that's the tension, that's the dispute between Tanakam and Reputa. But that's only shaykh when you're talking about payers, where there is an incentive for the chenvini to upload or download all of his payers and get them out of the store ASAP. So, Tzimur, However, in the case of Shulchani, moist Markabi, the moist don't go bad. Maybe then the Chama would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that what you don't have to make a Shvua, and you can assume 99.9% that the Shulchani has already gotten his money, and therefore the customer does not have to go and make a Shvua that he already paid. If we only have the second case, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, that you don't have to make a shvuah because we can be sure the Shulchan is going to take the money up front. But in the case of the payers, maybe also agree to Rabbanan that since there's an incentive to try to get out the schur as quickly as possible because eventually they are going to rot. So maybe the Chanvani says, take the payers, Yosh, now take the payers, and then he'll ask for the money. So that's you have to both cases, both the Chanvani and the Shulchani, then both cases the Rabbanan hold, the Balabus has to make a shvuah. In both cases, Rabbi Yehuda holds he does not make a shvuah. By the kshem she'omra b'yemes suvasa b'chini yisaymu liyiparu. So the focus is now on b'chini yisaymu liyiparu ela b'shvuah. Which one means man? Now, what means yisaymu liyiparu? We're talking about yisaymu of the malveh that want to get paid from the loyveh, and they are yisaymu b'chini yisaymu liyiparu ela b'shvuah. Now, the Yisoyimim are the ones that are trying to go and collect. They are the Yisoyimim, the Yorshim of the Malveh, trying to collect now from the Loive, or from the Loive's children. So, Freitim or Miman, who are the Yisoyimim trying to get the money from? Who are they getting the payment from? Ilayma mi Loive. Are they trying to collect from the Loive, the original borrower who owes the money? No, Avu and Shaka B'Loishwa, when their father was still alive, he can go and take without a shvuah. The father had a shtar, he showed the shtar to the loive. Unless the loive was able to show mezuya for some other reason, it's a done case. It's open and shut case. He has a shtar, there's no statement on it that it's been paid in full. No shvuah necessary. So the avu and shaka b'lo shvuah. The inu and now the assignment, who we always try to go backwards for, we bend over backwards. Thank you for the correction on the metaphor. We try to go and bend over backwards to help out Yisoyimim because never the poor Yisoyimim. So Ibazoi, the inu b'shvuah, and the chum are going to require the father did not need a shvuah, but the Yorshim do need to make a shvuah. Does that make sense? Says Imar, you got a good point. And therefore haki kama. Although we didn't say this explicitly in the Mishnah, it's v'chein ha'yisoyimim min ha'yisoyimim liyiparu ela b'shvuah. That the group of Yisayim, who are the children of the Malveh, who are trying to collect for the children of the Loiveh, they have to make a Shvuah, because even the father would have had to make a Shvuah, so the Yisayim also have to make a Shvuah. So that Kasha that we had is Nishka Kasha. Now you're wondering, what Shvuah do these Yorshim make? So our Mishnah already spelled it out. It's the Shvuah HaYorshim. That Shvuah HaYorshim has three statements in it. Lepakadnu Abba, and we didn't find among his records any shoiver, any notation that this was paid. So that's the shvuah that they have to go back. That's the explanation of Mishnah, and that's fine. But now we have Rav Shmuel the Amar Travai, and you remember we had this Rav Shmuel already yesterday. Loishanu, when do we say that they have to make the shvuah Sayorshim? And when they make the shvuah Sayorshim, they'll be able to go and collect. Loishanu Elishemes Malve Bechaye Loivet. That's only when the Malva died first. And therefore, the Malva never had an opportunity to go and deal with the Loive one-on-one to try to collect on the Chayv, because he already passed away whilst the Loive was still alive. Then, in that situation, we say the Yorshim of the Malva come into Bezin. They are challenging now the Loive, and they say, Loive, you owe the money. We have a shtar. And we'll make a shvua say Yorshim that our father didn't tell us anything, not b'shas misa, and not earlier. There's no shoiver, there's no indication that this was paid, and therefore you got to pay. So that's what the Mishnah meant. Continue, Rav and Shmuel. Avol meis loiv b'chayim malve. If the loive died first and the malve was still alive, kvar neschayiv malve l'bnei loive shvua. Then the Malva was required to make a Shvuah to the children. What Shvuah would he have made to the children? That this Choyv is outstanding and your father didn't pay me a nickel on it and he owes me the money in full. Why would he have to make that Shvuah? Because Ein Nefrom and Yisoyim Ela B'Shvuah. Okay, so now that the father Nebuch has passed away and the soimim of the malva want to go and collect, what shvur can they make? They cannot make the same shvur that their father would have made, because the shvur that the father would have made was that the loiven never paid me. But the yoshim can't make that shvur that the loiven never paid. Maybe the loiva did pay. The only thing that they can do is ashvur sayorshim, which is like really a shema. And that is, our father never said a word to us that this was paid, neither at the time of Misa, nor in earlier years. And we looked through his records and his documents, and we didn't find any receipts, and we didn't find any notations that it was paid. And therefore, you got to go and pay. Now this shvur, of course, is a different shvur than the malva would have made. The malva would have made ashvur as bari. The loiva never paid me on this chayv, he owes it to me 100%. The children cannot make that type of shvur because they're not the malva and they were not familiar with the father's affairs. They can only make the shvur sayarshim. Say now, Ravit Shmuel, v'ein odem moirish shvur lebanav. What means ein odem moirish shvur lebanav? So you remember we had the Rashi a couple of times yesterday where the Rashi says that since this is not the shvur hamuteles aleihem, they have a different type of shvur than the father. The father had an emphatic shvur, lo hiskabalti, I was not paid, I want to get paid. They make a shvur which is more of a historic situation. Our father never told us, we don't know, we don't see, but we just see it's similar to circumstantial. So since it's not the same type of shvur, then the father could not be moirish their shvur to them. He can't give them his shvur because his shvur is impossible for them to make. They cannot make a shvur that the loiva never paid on this chayv. Maybe he did pay the chayv. They're making a brand new shvur, and that's not the shvur that he's being moidish to them. So therefore, there's a bit of a disconnect, and that's why Rav and Shmuel say, in this situation, the yorshim cannot make a shvur, nor can the yorshim of the loiva make a shvur, because it's an outstanding chayv, and how can they say that it was paid? Since they cannot make a shvur, and they cannot make a shvur, we said yesterday in Gemara, said Rav and Shmuel, pshat in our Mishnah, chozra shvur l'sinai, Bezin has to throw up its hands and say, I can't be mashbia these yisayman. I can't be mashbia these yisayman. If you can go and bring Edim, fine. But if you cannot, unfortunately, I no longer have jurisdiction to decide this chayv, neither for shvuas nor for birayin. I send it back to the Bnei Shalom. You'll take care of it.
So they treat the shtar is as is, without meaning the shtar is looked at as
shtar is dead.
No, if there was a shtar
is not collectible.
We have a good shtar, but it's not collectible. Because the only way you can collect, please don't be upset.
Then it's not a good shtar if it's not collectible.
No, it's not a good shtar temporarily. What happens if the Yisrael subsequently go and bring Edom that in fact it was never paid, and then he'll be able to collect on the shtar. So you can say, well, if you have Edom, then what do you need the shtar for? Because then I have the Edom. And the answer is, because with the shtar you can go and collect from Mishubadim, while in Milval Pei you can only collect from the person himself. Mishubadim means if he sold it previously to Lekuchas, etc. So the shtar is still intact. Don't tear it up, leave it intact. We're going to, in fact, see a Gemara in the Amud Beis. Mikra loy karinan, even though you cannot collect on it. Just hold on to it, put it in the deep freezer, and hopefully you'll be able to. Mashiach comes, yeah.
But it's only a shvur
bari.
If they make a shvur yisomim, that's
But that we don't know anything. So that's what our Mishnah says. You make a shvur sayorshim, what's the shvur? Shalei bakadnu abba, shalei amardanu abba shim dover. V'chini yisomim yiparil b'shvur, shvur shalei bakadnu abba, v'lei omelanu abba. Actually, Matzina Ben Shiroitzev Shel Abish Shishar Zeperu.
That's not a good shvur.
That's a wonderful shvur. But Rav and Shmuel say you can only use that shvur in a situation where Meis Malva Bechaye Loive. But if Meis Loive Bechaye Malva, then you cannot. Why can you not use that shvur? Because the Malva, since the Loive had already died, the Malva is already Mechuyev Shvur to be able to go and collect from the Yoshim of the Loive. What type of shvur would he make? Loyis Kabalti, I didn't get paid a penny. Now that the Malva passed away, the children of the Malva cannot go and adopt and use that same form of shvur.
So in that sequence,
in that situation, ain of the moida shvur l'bonav, and therefore Rav and Shmuel say, case closed. We don't ask the B'nai Loiva to make a shvur, we don't ask the B'nai Malva to make a shvur, and since we have no way of dispensing the funds without Edom, without shvurs, case is over. who's going to win, who's going to lose, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will go and take
care. Even though there's a star.
Even though there's a star, correct.
Why is the Gemara repeating the same limud that we had yesterday? We learned this the blood before.
It's very good, because yesterday, since the Oilam wanted to go home after 1 hour and 5 minutes, we'll give him a break. Today we're going to go and spend another half an hour or so on this Rabban Shmuel, explaining and explicating and asking kashas. So it's on Levi the Kamiyat
Hashem. It could be another Thursday if they want to have 49 pages.
Oh, very good.
It's where they agree, and it's such a rarity that...
And Rabban Shmuel are together on the same bus.
They even agree with Rabbi Yochanan and Kulu.
Can you imagine? Anyway, so continuing on. Zokti Marshal, Chul Kamid Rabbi Lazar. They told Rabbi Lazar about this psak of Rab and Shmuel. And they asked in their introductory letter to Rabbi Lozer, Shvua zo mativa. What type of shvua is this that we are talking about in our Mishnah? Shalach lehu yorshin nishboin shvuas yorshin v'noitlin, that the yorshim can make a shvuas yorshin and get paid. What is Rabbi Lozer saying? Rabbi Lozer saying is, I respectfully disagree with Rabbi Shmuel. It makes no difference with meis loyve b'chayin. Because I hold that a person, Odom, is Moirish Shvua Labanov, even though it wasn't the Shvua Hamutalis Olav. So it was a different form of Shvua. It doesn't bother me, says Rabbi Lazar, and therefore we will allow the Yorshim to go and make a Shvua. After all, the Shvua is a Yorshim, Shvua Pekan L'Abba, and they'll be able to collect on that Shtar. Are you happy about that, Baruch Hashem? We couldn't
draw blood.
Do you see that? I knew you'd be happy. Now, this was still a hot potato. We're not done yet. Shalchua b'mei Rabbi Ami. They sent the Shaila subsequently. Until now we
so
said Shalchua.
Between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi, it's not enough. They're not happy with the Rabbi.
We're not done yet. There's still more history going on. After they sent the Shaila to Rabbi Lazar, Shalchua b'mei Rabbi Ami. They sent it now to Rabbi Ami. The same halacha. What do you say in this dispute between Rav and Shmuel and Elazar, meaning in the case of Meis Loiv Bechayim Malva, can a person be Moir Shvua Labanav? Can the Yosha make a Shvua? Can they not make a Shvua? Reb Ami Omar, so Shulchu Bimei Reb Ami. So first Reb Ami, if you will, was a little bit annoyed, and he said, Omar, Kuli Hai Sholchula. You keep on sending more messages and more letters and more emails and more aerograms and more faxes. Kuli Hai Sholchila V'Azli. If I would have had an answer to this quandary and to this shaila, don't you think I would have sent it a long time ago? What is this constant repetitious letter writing? But Ella Omar Rabami, but Rabami relented and he said, after all of these letters and bakoshes and shailas, you know what? Name of a milzah. Let me go and tell you what I believe the halacha should be. And he took the view of Rav and Shmuel. However, he added an ingredient. Because remember, what did Rabbi Shmuel say yesterday? Rabbi Shmuel said yesterday, or what did we, sorry, when I say yesterday, 5 minutes ago, what did we have in the Gemara? That they said, Meis loive b'chaye malve, loive passed away first. So the malve is already now empowered, authorized, and required to make a shvua. That's a shvua to go and get the property from the Yarshim, because you cannot collect many yesoimim ella b'shvua. And now you can't be moirish that shvua to the kids. Says Rabbi Ami, when would that be the case that the malva would be making that shvua? Zukta, omad bedin umeis, kvar neschayiv malva lebnei loy v'shvua, ve'ein odam moirish shvua lebanav. I agree with Rabbi Shmuel that ein odam moirish, but I'm only talking about a case where omad bedin umeis. In other words, the malva had already taken the loy v'tub, that's them. And before they had a chance to decide, unfortunately, the loiva passed away. And now the malva is now mechuyev to go and say to b'nei loiva ei shvua. And then subsequently the malva passed away.
Before
a decision in the bezin, before even had a chance to go make the shvua. He was supposed to, he was mechuyev to make the shvua, but he didn't make a shvua yet. And now we have brand new plaintiff and defendant. The heirs or the estate of the malva is now suing the estate of the loiva, and the malva was already mechuyev shvua in bezin because already omad v'din. They know the moir shvua l'banav. So it's the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel, but he just adds this ingredient that they were already in the bezin corridors, and this was already something being debated and deliberated. However, loy omad v'din, if they weren't in bezin yet, umeis, and he died. Yorshin nishboin shvuas yorshin v'noitlin. So in this respect, he holds taka like Rabbi Lazar, that since they were not Omad Bedin yet, then the Yorshim can make a Shavuos a Yorshim, and they can be Noitel. So to a certain extent, Rav Ami is kind of Yovi HaKosher, Shlishi V'Achri B'Neim, he's taking both sides and saying, if it was Omad Bedin, I'm with Rav and Shmuel. Ain't other Moshe Shulabana. However, Lo Yomad Bedin, I'm on the side of Rabbi Lazar, that what, you can make the Shavuos a Yorshim, the Noitel, and you can go and collect them. Rav Nachman was not impressed by this compromise position of Rav Ami. And Maslan of Nachman, when does the chiyuv of shvuah, the requirement of shvuah, hit? Not when they go into the Beis Din corridors and he files a complaint against the defendant. As soon as the loiv passed away, even before the hespedim, even before the levaya, as soon as the loiv is unfortunately passed away, all of a sudden, if the malva at any point in time decides to go and try to collect on his shtar, on the alba, he's going to have to make a shvuah. Whether he's omer b'din, loy omer b'din, loy b'din l'chayra is irrelevant, says Rav Nachman. And therefore, says Elamar Rav Nachman, Issa l'Rav Shmuel, if you hold like Rav Shmuel, Issa, good, follow Rav and Shmuel, and don't worry about omer b'din. Elessa, if you don't follow Rav and Shmuel, then lessa, then don't follow him. In other words, yeah. Rav Nachman is not taking a concrete position at this point. He's basically saying, if you like Rav Shmuel, gesundheit. If you prefer Rebbe Lozer over Rav Shmuel, it's also gesundheit. So Frey Timora, al mesapkele. It sounds like Rav Nachman had not come up with a final determination. Do I pass him like Rav Shmuel? Do I pass him like Rebbe Lozer? Do I say you can make a Shavuos a Yoshim? You cannot make a Shavuos a Yoshim? Why does he have this suffix? I remember from Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi of Rav Nachman of the Yachloiko. What is this all about? You remember we had back in the Mishnah, and we had a discussion back in the Gemara yesterday, that back in our Mishnah we have a machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yosi. Where is that machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Yosi? In a case of, if you have a person who's choshed al hashvua, and he cannot make the shvua, so then we transfer the shvua from that loiv and we give it now to the malve. But what happens if the malve is also choshed al hashvua? It says in the Mishnah, chozre shvua lim koima. Now what does that mean, chozre shvua lim koima? So you remember, Mr. Friedland already yesterday asked, what does that mean, chozre shvua lim koima? And the Gemara, to answer such a very good question, the Gemara had to have two tanoim address that, Rav Meir and Rav Yosi. And unbelievable, even though our Gemaras and even the R Scroll Gemaras have one version of the Machloikis, Rav Nachman says, sorry fellows, it's a mistake. Really the one that says Yachloiku is that is Rav Yosi, and the one that says Chozer Shulam Koima, that's Rav Meir, and we paskin like Rav Yosi, not like Rav Meir. It was in Rav Meir that holds Chozer Shulam Koima, that's where Rav and Shmuel said, well, it really depends, when do you say Chozer Shulam Koima? That you can make a shvua, you can't make a shvua, depends if the loiva died first, if the malva died first. Guess what? If we paskin like Rav Yosi, and Rav Yosi says Yachloiku, I don't really need to get into this nitty-gritty as to whether the loiva died first or the malva died first, just by the fact that I have a dispute between these two groups of Yesayimim, and I cannot find his shvua, you just split it down the middle, and a ladik Yachloiku. So why is Rav Nachman saying, if you hold like Rav and Shmuel, you don't hold like Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel is only a subset of the Machlokes Tanoi. They are now disputing and arguing with Rav Abba, Rav Seinu Shebebovel, Rav Seinu Shebeeretz Yisrael. They're arguing about what is this pshat in the Mishnah, Chozer Shmuel Mkoyim. But this is all Rav Meir speaking. We don't pass like Rav Meir anyway. So Rav Nachman should go and say, this is very, very good to learn Torah and to delve into the Sforis and this and that. We don't paskin like that. We paskin like Rabbi Yosi, that you are Yachloik. And that being the case, Rabbi Nachman doesn't have to say, if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, if you don't hold like Rabbi Shmuel, we don't hold like this whole Svara of our Mishnah, of Chozer Shmuelim Koyma or the Sinai, that's off the table. We hold Yachloik. Everything Gemara Avada, Rabbi Nachman remembered what he learned yesterday. He's saying, the Dvar Dere Meir Ka'amalei. He is talking about according to Remeir. V'lei loy svirlei. In Remeir, the Remeir said in our Mishnah, Chozer Shmuelim Koyma. Well, then we had a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Abba. What does that mean? Does it mean Chozer Shmuelim Koyma l'machuyev lo because she'ain yochel yishavim mishalim. Or do you go and say that it goes back to Sinai and the Kodesh Baruch Hu will decide? In that machloikis, says Rav Nachman, I really am not involved in that machloikis. I pass from like Rav Yosi achloikum. But just in case, in this region where we happen to be, you have followers of Rav Meir, and they believe that Rav Meir is right and not Rav Yosi, and Chozer Shmuelim Koyma. Oh, so how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Shmuel, or do we go and paskin like Rav Abba? I'll tell you, if you hold like Rav Shmuel, which is good, he's the Rav Shmuel, fine. And if you don't hold like Rav Shmuel, it's all good. And therefore, he didn't take a position, like Rav Meir, how you should paskin like either Rav Shmuel, or like Reb Abba of yesterday, or for that matter, Reb Lozer of today.
So what if he were asked which position he would take?
He, Reb Nachman, he would say Yachloika. Yachloika, split it down. Remember, it's not like today, where you already have a certain degree of established halacha with a Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. This is talking about pre-Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Rambam and Shulchan Aruch are based on the ultimate psak after the Gemara is all done, after the analysis of the Rishonim, whether it's in all cases, in certain cases. So in Tan Rav Nachman, this was not fully decided, not fully baked. He personally held Yachloik. But if I happen to be in a region where Rav and Shmuel are preeminent and everybody looks to them, or a mayor is the preeminent kadol, whatever, if they want to live Rav Shmuel.
Was Rav Nachman in Eretz Yisrael?
Rav Nachman was in
Bavel.
He was in Bavel.
So he would have had to defer to Rav and Shmuel.
Basically.
Normally he would defer to Rav and Shmuel. But he remember,
was,
yesterday.
He was a circuit judge. He went from town to town to decide practical cases. Rav and Shmuel were academics. Shmuel was a practicing physician, an astronomer, etc. Mm-hmm. But they weren't poskening the way Rav Nachman was in okay. Civil law.
Good. Remember, we also had Reb Lozer, and Reb Lozer is also a Talmud of Etzulzo, and a Talmud of Yochanan, so maybe moved after. Okay, anyway, bottom line is, we had Rav and Shmuel, and now the Gemara is going to ask three big kashas on Rav and Shmuel. Remember what Rav and Shmuel say? That the Yorshim, in a case where it was
the
Loiva dies first, the Malva cannot be Moirish his Shmuel to the kids. The kids cannot use their own shvuah, and basically you're at a stalemate. So now we're going to have three kashas. Moshe Raboishi. We have in the Braisa, Meso, Yorshia Maskirim Esksuvosad Esrim V'chomesh Shonim. What happens if a husband passed away and you have an almana? Now normally, almanas would ask for the ksuba on the spot, or after Shloishim, or whatever, you know, she wants to get paid her ksuba. However, she took her time. Somebody asked a couple of days ago, is there a statute of limitations? Not min haTorah, but in this case, the Chacham said, there is a statute of limitations, that the almana has to go and request payment of her ksuba within 25 years. That's a pretty nice statute of limitations.
She's supposed to be supported while she has
exactly. Right. Exactly. The heiress.
And that's the reason why she hasn't demanded the ksuba until now. She figures I can get Baruch Hashem free.
As long as possible.
Exactly, as long as the Yisoyim are giving her.
She gets married.
So the Yisoyim are keeping track of what she's consuming?
They don't have to keep it. She has to eat normal amounts. The ksuba talks about
what
the normal amounts.
If the woman have a $10,000 ketuba, and she happens that the guy becomes rich, and she's used to a good standard, the kids have to keep her in the good standard. And that would cost
very good,
a
very
lot
good.
More than
yeah, it's weird. That was back in Ksubas, we went through all those sugis. What happens if, in fact, she is eating more than she should, and the Yisoyim are saying, oh, we're going to go pay for her becoming obese, and then we're going to have to go and pay for her injections, exactly, because she's going to become a diabetic, chas v'sholem, and all those other wonderful things. Anyway, see, more in Ksubas talks about there were two menhagim, whether or not you can go and force the almana to take a ksuba even if she didn't demand it. Some said that you could force it, you couldn't do it. Anyway, in our situation, she was very, very patient. In the meantime, she's getting fed nicely, and now ultimately she has to ask for a ksuba at some time in the future, up to 25 years. And guess what happened? What happened was that before the 25 years ended, she unfortunately passed away. In other words, her husband, he was the first one who passed away. He was already, at that time, he was 100 years old, and she was also 100 years old, and for the next 20 years, she ate Peres, and at the exact age of 120, unfortunately, at this point, her Yarshim want to go and collect from the estate of the late husband of 20 years ago. Until 25 years, they have the right to go and collect. Okay, so Mesa, she died. Yarshim, Maskirin, ksuvas a maskir means they can still remind the yorshim of the late husband, you got to go and pay the ksuva ad es v'chamishan. Now the question is, how are they going to be maskir? How are they going to go and say that this ksuba was not paid? What they're going to have to go and say is, since the husband died first, he was, if you will, the loiva that owes the money, and then afterwards the malva, that was the mother that wanted to go, and their mother and the wife that wants to go and collect the funds. So since it was a loiva dying first, then she would have had to go and make a shvua to the yorshim. Had she demanded payment for her ksuba, she would have to go and say, I never got paid. Guess what? Unfortunately, she passed away, and now the yorshim want to get paid on that ksuba. So what shvua are they going to make? They cannot go make a shvua that our mother never got paid, because they don't know whether the mother got paid or not. The only thing they can make is a shvua say yorshim. What's a shvua say yorshim? Shlik makadnu ima. Mommy didn't say whether this ksuba was paid or not, and we didn't find anything among her records that this was paid or not. Nevertheless, what can they do? They can go make a shvua. They have to make a shvua because ein nifra min ha'yisoyim ela b'shvua. How can they go make a shvua? That's a shvua that's different than mami shvua. Mami shvua would have been, I didn't get paid a nickel. They're making a shvua. Lo ipakadnu ima. Didn't we say according to Rav Shmuel that since an ein odem moyer shvua lebanav, or in this case lebanea, since she cannot go and be moyer that shvua, that there's a stalemate and they cannot collect. And yet it says that they can collect, they can mask it until 25 years. In the Chodesh, Shvera Shaila on Kasha, on Rav and Shmuel. Chachmaiskiran Shinishba Umesa. It's talking about that first she demanded payment from the Yarshim. The Yarshim say, well, we don't know, let's go to Bezin. She goes into Bezin. Bezin says, what do you say, young lady? Young lady, thank you very much. I'm already 110 years old, but I appreciate the compliment. Okay, so what do you want to do? I want to go and collect on my ksuba. Where's the ksuba? Here's the ksuba written out. Remember the two Adam that signed on it? Oh, yeah. We even mentioned their names at the time. At the time of the chuppah, the person who read the ksuba said their names out loud. We have a beautiful ksuba. Say the Bezdin. It's all very fine and dandy, but you're going to have to add a shvua. Why you have to add a shvua? Because the original malva, meaning the original husband, the original loiva, the husband is no longer. You want to go and collect from the ears. You have to make a shvua. I hereby solemnly swear I didn't get a penny on this shvua. Gunish. And then shortly thereafter, she passed away. Either in Bezin when she got home, or a day later, whatever, she unfortunately passed away. Before the Bezin had issued its verdict. So now the Yorushim want to go and get paid on that shvua of the mother. So they continue the proceedings. And they can continue those proceedings, make sure to do it within the 25-year limit. They don't have to go make a shvua anymore because the shvua is already uttered by their mother. The whole machlok between Rav and Shmuel and between Rav Abba of yesterday and Rav Lozer of today is if they have to make a shvua, says Rav and Shmuel,
they're not
going to Yorshim.
But you don't Yorish the shvua.
They don't have to make a shvua. Baruch Hashem, they were apart.
It's recorded in Bezdin. She already swore.
So then this is already not an issue. And that's why the Gemara says it's not a kasha, Rav and Shmuel, because the Yorshim didn't have to make a shvua because their mother already made the shvua. So let's bring another kasha. Toshima. Nosa Rishoina Umesa. Nosa Shnia Umes Hu. You have a person over here that had two wives, not necessarily simultaneously, a Zivik Rishon and a Zivik Sheni. Nosa Rishoni first married the first wife, let's call her Rochel Lemushel. Umesa, unfortunately, she passed away. Now, when she passed away, were her children entitled to receive any ksuba?
No.
And the answer is no. Why not? He inherits her.
Husband inherits her.
He inherits her, not only the ksuba, but any property that she may have had, whether it's Nechsi Meluga, Nechsi Tzin Barzel, whatever she had. He goes and he's Yorshim. So her Yorshim have no taina on a ksuba at all. She died. Okay. Now, a year later, the husband feels great remorse, now because the first wife passed away, but life goes on. And now he married a second wife. And now when he married the second wife, guess what happened? Umes Hu. Now, he died before her. She is still alive, and he passed away. Now, is she entitled to get a ksuba?
She sure is.
Of course she's entitled to. She's an almana, and now she's entitled to get a ksuba. So now, what happens? Both the Yorsha, well, let's first talk about Shnia. Shnia means the second wife. Or Yorsha, if she passes away, her Yorsha. Koidman, the Yorsha Harishoina. No,
why are the first come, first served?
Okay, that's a very good question.
What was the question?
Why do we say first come, first served? Oh. Why do we say the first woman died first, and her yoshim should go first, and the second woman, then they should go?
Because the husband collects all the rights when his first wife died. So they lose their place in line. Last in, first out. When the first wife died, the husband collects all the property rights. When he marries, then anybody from before, they're back of the line now.
Or explaining in a different way, anytime you come into surrogate's court or you're dealing with an estate, the court will always want to know, did you pay up all the obligations first? Yes, you give them a whole list of all the obligations. We paid for the funeral expenses, we paid for the casket, we paid for the everything, all the maspidim, everything has been paid in full, no further debts. Oh, how much we left with? Left with $100, we have to now split it up among the yorshim, who goes first, who goes second, but first you have to pay all the debts. In this case over here, the first lady, the first wife, when she passed away, no debts vis-a-vis her, because she passed away, there's no ksuba owing to her. When the second woman passed away, her husband already predeceased her. The husband passed away before her. So when he passed away, the estate now owes a debt to the second wife. So the debts have to be paid first before any Yerusha can be split up among any of the heirs.
Always debts first.
Debts first. So the second one has a debt. What is that debt? The amount of the ksuba that's owing to her. And if she died, then her yarshin that debt of their mother. And they want to get paid on that ksuba. So the koidman, they come before the Yorshin Rishayna. Yorshin Rishayna means the children of the first wife. They're not coming out trying to...
The chelik was absorbed by the father.
By the father.
So what are they claiming? The Yorshin
Rishayna? Yerusha. They want to be their ears of the estate. They want to go and split up the estate together with the other.
They have the same share as the second... After all the debts are paid, they share equally with the step siblings.
Except for the din of Subas Banan Dichrin and Benos Nugfan, they're all exactly the same now. He had five children from the first wife, five children from the second wife. All the debts have now been paid. In the sense that first he pays off the ksuba to his wife, the second wife, and if she already dies, he pays the ksuba to those yarshim. So that's already done. Now we have $100 left. There's 10 yarshim left, 5 from the first, 5 from the second. They split it evenly. So what he means is, we're not even going to look at the yarshim rishayna until the debts have been paid to the shniya or to her yarshim. And now we will consider any claims that the yarshim rishayna say, yeah, we want to get a chedek in Yerusha. Come on in. We're ready now to go and split up the estate. Okay, so that's a nice halacha. But what does it have to do with us? What it has to do with us is we're saying that the shniya or the yarsheha koidman. Now, I understand that the shniya, how would she go and collect? It says, umesu, the husband died. So there's only an estate. There's no loiva left. It's just the husband. So shniya, how is she going to go and collect on her ksuba from that husband? She would have to go make a shvua that I was not paid, right? I didn't receive a nickel, not even a penny. No, there's no penny anymore. I didn't even receive a nickel on that ksuba. Now that she died, and the yorshim have to go and swear, what shvua are they going to make? Shloi bekanu ima. They can't make because they ain't other moirish shvua labanav. According to Rav and Shmuel, ain't other moirish. The only shvua that they can make is that we don't know anything about it. But that's not the shvua. Shvua seyashim. But that's not the shvua that their mother would have made. The mother would have made the shvua, I didn't get paid. They might make a shvua shloi bekanu ima. So those are two different types of shvuas. And we said that ain't other moirish, in this case, ain isha moirisha le moireshes libaneha. So how could they go make a shvua? Is the chasimin that if they are collecting, you can make a shvua? So l'chay Rav and Shmuel are wrong from this price. And for the more hachanami shnishva meisa, same teretz as before, that this shnia had already gone to Bezin to go and get her ksuva, and she wanted to receive it, and the yorshim say, well, I don't know. We don't know if you got paid or you didn't get paid. I'm making a shvua. I didn't get paid on nickel gunisht. After that Nebuch, she passed away, and now this case, which until now was a case of a plaintiff against a defendant, now falls into surrogate's court, because now we have two estates that are fighting each other, who is going to go and get paid? Oh, since she already made a shvua, then the yorshim don't have to make a shvua anymore. The shvua is already made, it's already, as you said, recorded in the court records, and therefore, now that she died, the Yorshim who are now replacing her do not have to make a new Shavua as a Yorshim. Mommy already made a Shavua, she didn't get paid.
They inherit her Shavua, as it were.
Sorry?
They inherit her Shavua.
In this case, Itakiyo inherit. Normally, he wouldn't inherit, but here they get the inherited benefit.
They inherit the Shavua, not the obligation, but the actual, the merit.
Very good Shavua. So, Toshima, let's ask another Kasha on Rabbi Shmuel. Aval Yorshim Mashbino Yisrael in Yorsheha. I'm sorry, V'es Yosheh, V'es Haboin Birshusa. What is this all about? Now, we're missing the first part of the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Ksuvos, where it says, what happens if a husband who is about to marry his wife, the wife says, what happens if, Chas V'Shalom, you pass away? Who's going to support me? Nothing to worry about. You're going to go and get a nice Ksuvah. What happens if you go and give me a get? Nothing to worry about. You're going to get a nice Ksuvah. But what happens if you are going to go and play games with me? I'm going to want to collect my ksuvah, and you're going to go and say that every year I paid you, and the dumb, ba ba bum ba ba bum. I wrote, the husband writes to his wife, Neder ushvua ainli olayich ve'al yorshayich. I will never require you or your yorshin to make a neder ushvua. You're going to come into Bezdin. If you're going to challenge me, you're never going to have to make a shvua. Not necessarily going to win the case. Maybe you're going to have to bring Edom. I'll have to bring Edom. But one thing is certain. I'm not going to require you to make a neder and a shvua. Zero. Not you and not your yorshin. If, in fact, ultimately he gives her a get, and now there's a dispute, and it's a heated dispute after all, there was a get involved, says the Mishnah Maseches Ksuvos. I'm just reading from the Rashi right before the white lines. Who ain a yochel hashbia loyisav v'lo yorsheh. He made that commitment. He said, Neder Shavua Eliya, he cannot go and ask her for the Yorshim to go and make a Shavua. But the Mishnah continues on. Av Yorshav im Meishu, Ubo Letoivim Ksuvasa, Mashbiyan Oysav Yes Yorshav. What happens if, however, the father passed away, and now there are Yorshim, and those Yorshim are disputing either their mother or their stepmother regarding the payment of that Ksuba, they are allowed to be mashbir her, because this was not something that was imposed on them, it was only on himself. Neder Shavua Ein Li Olayich. Now, our Gemara doesn't go into it, but if you go continue the Maseches Ksuvos, it says over there, what happens if he wrote to her, Neder Shavua Ein Li Olayich, Ein Li V'loy Al Yorshai, V'loy Al Boy Koichi. Not only will I not make a Shavua, but I now write down that as far as my Yorshim and anybody that represents me, they also cannot be Mashbiyah. You, that nobody can be Mashbiyah. But that wasn't the case that we're focusing on now in the Mishnah. We're talking about Yorshim, the father was the only one that the husband said, I will never require you to make a Shavua. Fine. So continues the Mishnah, and as the Gemara quotes, Toshima, Av Yorshav Mashbiyah V'yes Yorshav. Since this was only binding on the husband, not binding on the kids. The kids, they could be mashbia, and the Yorushim, the Bon Mershusa, they can be mashbia. Okay, so what's the issue over here? The issue over here is that the Yorushim are going to go and be mashbia, the other Yorushim. Now, what are they going to be mashbia, the other Yorushim? Those Yorushim who are trying to collect the ksuba, will they be able to go and say in the name of their mommy that this ksuba was not paid? Mommy didn't even receive a nickel, they can't make that shvua because they don't know. The maximum they can make in their shvua is shvua shleipakad no ima, that mommy didn't tell us about it, didn't say that the ksuba was paid, and we didn't find any shoiver, didn't find any evidence that it was paid. So they can only make a shvua siyarshim. But it says in the Mishnah, they make a shvua siyarshim. Mashbino yisav v'yes yorsheha. Now, if you're going to go and tell me the same teretz as before, it's talking about that she already made a shvua, and therefore they don't have to make a shvua any longer. As you said, the yarsh and the shvua that the mother already made. But the Mishnah says very clearly, mashbia an oisa v'yes yorsheh. There will be occasion that will be mashbia the yorshim themselves. But the yorshim cannot make the shvua that their mommy would have made. The mommy would have made a shvua, I didn't get paid. They can make only a shvua, yeshua, say yorshim, shvua bakan no abba. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel should say the yorshim cannot make a shvua because ain or the moed shvua lebonav, and therefore the case is closed. The bezin should say, we have nothing we can decide. Chaz shvua lesinai, let Rabbi Shmuel decide it. So we see that that's not the case. We see from this Mishnah that we can be mechayev the yorshim. Is the chayyur raya to Rabbi Lazar, who said, no, no, you can be mechayev a shvua se yorshim, even though the mother was not moidish it libaneha.
Rav Shmaya said, it's a very good kasha. With Stod and Ketani, what we're going to have to do is parse and split this Mishnah. When we're talking about Mashbin Oysa, it's talking about Taken Almana. When we say Mashbin Es Yosheha, it's talking about that the mother was a Grusha when she passed away. She passed away, that's why they're Yosha. So the Yosheha of the Grusha. How does that help us? Says Rashi, it helps us tremendously. Because remember, Rav and Shmuel are only making their statement when Meis Loive B'chaye Malva. If it was Meis Malva B'chaye Loive first, then there's no issue. Said Rav and Shmuel, yes, we agree with you. There's a Shmuel Sayorishim, and that works. But Meis Loive B'chaye Malva, that's already a different story. So now, who is the Loive and who is the Malva in this situation? Whenever you have a husband and you have a wife, if and when Chas V'Shalom, the Ksuva has to be paid.
The husband's the Loive.
The husband is the Loive. And here, the Loive passed away, B'chaye Malva, and no. That was the case of the Almana. It was Meis Loive B'chaye Malva, and that's why she has to make the Shua, and the Yorshin could not make the Shua. Rather, over here is talking about by the Grusha, Meis Malva B'chaye Loive. First, the Malva, who's the Malva in this case?
The creditor, the lady.
The lady is the Malva.
Yes.
And what happened was, he gave her a get. And now what happened was,
she passed away.
She passed away. So she was the Malva trying to go and collect from the
husband.
In that case, since that was the situation, even Rav and Shmuel agree that there's a Shua Sayarshan. If you go back to the middle of the Amid, Rav and Shmuel, the Amid Tzavayu, Loi Shonu, when did we say in the Mishnah that they can make a Shua Sayarshan to be Nifra? Loi Shonu, Loi Shonu, Meis Mal V'chayi Loiva. Av Meis Loi V'chayi Mal V'chayi Nishayiv. No! So the case of the Kurush is talking the Meis Mal V'chayi Loiva situation. That after she got the get, who passed away first? The Malva passed away. Who was the Malva in that situation?
The wife. Divorced wife.
So she never had a Shvua that she had to make to the other Yorshim because never she passed away. So what happens now? So now the Yorshim, they make their own Shvua. Not a Shvua that they were Moirish or Yorish from their father, from their mother. They make their own Shvua. And they can go and collect. And therefore, no Kasha on Rav and Shmuel. But now we have the final question. Sometimes the koyach of the ben is stronger than the koyach of the ab. What does that mean? Sometimes a son can be goyva side mitishwa, sometimes without a shwa. The father can only be goyva bishwa. Okay, so that's a very, very nice, succinct summary, but tell me, what are the facts? Hey, chidon. The meis loyva b'chayim malva. The loyva passed away before the malva passed away. So what happens in such a situation? Uktani. So now, what about the father? Since the father was the malva, he can go and collect from the loyva by making a shvua. Now, the loyva already passed away, but he wants to collect from the yisoyim. Ain't nefroim and yisoyim ele b'shvua. So what shvua is he going to go and make?
He's
going to say, I wasn't paid. Very simple shvua. That's the father. Uktani sheben goyv ben b'shvua b'shben shaloy b'shvua. What type of shvua would the ben make? He can't go and say that I wasn't paid, but he can go and make the shvuas hayorshim. What's the shvuas hayorshim that we said? Shvuas hayorshim means shvuas pekadna abba. Oh, so we see that even though the father was already mechuyev shvua before, and he can make in a goy ve'ele b'shvua, the son happens to be stronger, yafakoyechem ben, that he can go and collect say mita shvua and say una shvua. What shvua can he collect with the shvuas hayorshim? According to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no such thing as a shvuas hayorshim. Shloish b'shvua is going to be the next thing.
Okay.
But in the meantime, how can the Mishnah say, the Braisa say, that the Ben is stronger than the Av, that he can be goyved b'shvua? He can't be goyved b'shvua, because only shvua he can make the shvua say Yorshim. But, ain, oh, the moira shvua l'banav. And here we're talking about that the father had to make a shvua. This is not talking about a case where the father wasn't, no. Hey, chadam de meis loy b'chayim malva. So the malva had to make a shvua. And that's why it says, va'av ain a goyved ele b'shvua, the shvua that he says, Yorshim, your father never paid me a penny. Here's the shtar, go and pay me. And if the father is no longer around, then the ben can also make a shvua. Not the same shvua. He can't say that father wasn't paid. He can say shlei pekano abba. Ah, so you see that Odom is moirish shvua lebonav, even though that was not the shvua hamutelis olav, and it works. On Rav and Shmuel. Now, just as an incidental piece of information, what does it mean? Sheben goyva ben shaloi b'shvua. Says, well, that's kerib shim gamliel. Who's Reb Shimon Gamliel? Reb Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah, what happens if Edom came and said that one father passed away? He made a statement at that time that this Shavua is still intact. Then the Yisoyimim don't have to make a Shavua. If you're wondering, where is this Reb Shimon Gamliel? I don't remember it. Go back to Mem Hei Omer Aleph. Mem was a long, long Mishnah. And it was Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel towards the bottom of the Omer. It's parallel to the final choice. See, the final choice begins Kzitza. Look on the Gemara. Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, same line. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Im Yesh Edim. She'omer Ab B'shas Misase. The Av is about to pass away. He's getting ready to say Shema Yisrael and say Vidui and Klap Al-Chei. Gesundheit. A second before that, somebody asked him, by the way, Tati, was this shtar ever paid? And Edom are present, and he says, in front of those Edom, shtar ze einay perua, it is not paid. Now, after he passes away, 5 minutes later, Gesundheit, when the Yorushim want to go and collect, you don't need to make a shvua anymore because I have this edus that said that father said that it was not perua. So that's what he means in our Gemara. Shaloi bishvua. Kirab shem gamia. Good. But the kash is from the shvua part. How can they make a shvua since they cannot make the same shvua as their father and ain't other moy shvua lebanav? Is a starke kasha on Rabin shvua. So Gemara has to give a real doichik teret. Doichik in the sense of Rav Yosef Hamani Beishamahi. To say that a Brice or a Mishnah goes according to Beishamahi is always a big, big problem, always a remote possibility, because we 99% of the time we pass on like Beisil and not like Beishamahi. So therefore, to go and say that they codified a Brice or a Mishnah in, not in Beishamahi's name, the Beishamahi's name doesn't appear here, but his halacha, Sashver Epshad. But what does the Gemara say? Beishamahi the Amishtaro Oimid Ligvois Kigavoi Dami. Beishamahi has a view in Gan Shas whenever he's talking about trying to collect. Now, we, the world at large, look upon who is the muchzik and who's the moitzi mechaveret. The muchzik is the one that holding the money, holding the cash, holding the metaltlin, holding the karka, and the moitzi is the person who wants to get that cash or those metaltlin. Says, Beishamahi, if there happens to be a shtar, and that shtar gives you a lien on the property, the owner of the shtar is the muchzik in the property. The shtar is as if he is the owner. Ah, so therefore in the case of the Malva and the Loiva, when the Malva passed away, he was holding the property. He was holding the property in the form of that shtar, because it's kigobi dummy. Ah, so therefore, that's why the Yorshim can make a shvua, because it's not that they are yarshning a shvua from their father. Their yarshning, says Rashi, momen gomer from their father. They have the piece of the cake. They have the metalton. They have the cash. They have the kark, because they own the shtar. And therefore, it's not that they are yarshening a shtar from their father. They're yarshening the property from the father. How do you extract that property if the property is no longer owned by a loiv? It's now owned by the children of the loiva. Oh, that's a separate din that the chum put on that ain't the from. And I saw him ela b'shvua. But that's not because we got that from our father. From our father, we got the actual corpus of the property. So that's Bisham. Okay, with this we have now concluded all the kashas and the back and forth, the Gabi Rabbit Shmuel. How are we going to go and paskin now? Ikle Rav Nachman, oh, the same Rav Nachman came to Surah. Oyle Gabe Rav Chizav Rav Barafuna. Now Rav Nachman is on a visit. He's on vacation, so to speak. He's in Surah. Rav Chizav Rav Barafuna, who lived in Surah, came to him, Amrulei, Leisimar Nekre Lahadir Rabbit Shmuel. What we'd like to do is be oiker and say we do not pasken like Rab Ben Shmuel. We pasken like Rab Elazar, or we pasken like Rab Abba. That you should be able to go and collect and odem is moidish shmuel abanav and not like Rab Ben Shmuel. Amalahu. So now Rab Nachman says, Ichbali vasoi kol hani parsi lemekar lahod Rab Ben Shmuel. You think I came this long distance, so many parsois from where I was living here to Surah just to be oiker Rab Ben Shmuel? I'm not going to do that. Even though I personally, remember we said in the Amud Aleph, doesn't even hold like Rav and Shmuel, he doesn't hold like Reb Meir, he holds like Reb Yoisi, that Yachloikum. He doesn't even hold like that. But you think I came here to Surah to go and be Oiker Rav and Shmuel? No, it appears he's showing tremendous respect and kovod for Rav and Shmuel. I'm not here on vacation to be Oiker Rav and Shmuel. The maximum I'm willing to do is, I
agree with you, let's not expand Rav and Shmuel beyond the limited halacha of Rav and Shmuel. Don't try to bring by analysis and by analogy and bring parallels. No, no, only in that case. So what do you mean? Keep going, my. Yom Rav Papa said, HaPoygimes Shtaroi Umeis. We already had in our Mishnah, what about the din of a Poygimes Shtar? What means Poygimes Shtar? Normally the case of Poygimes Shtar in our Mishnah is talking about a Ksuba, but Lav Dafka Ksuba. It's talking about a Malva goes to Loiva, he shows him the Shtar says $100, and the Malva says, but I have to go and make an admission. Even though it says $100, I agree, I remember you paid me 3 weeks ago $50, and you only owe me $50. See, he's poigim his own Shtar. Said the Mishnah, you're poigim your own Shtar, you cannot go in the front Ela Bishwa. You're going to have to make a Shwa. Why? Because once he's admitting that he'd been partially paid, maybe in fact he was totally paid, he just doesn't remember. He thinks that he was only paid 50. Don't you remember 3 days later I paid you another 50? I don't remember that. Yeah, I gave you the first payment on Sunday. On Wednesday I gave you another payment. You have to go and make a Shwa. So HaBoigim is Shtaroi Umeis. So what happens, HaBoigim is Shtar, in other words, he came and said, yeah, I admit that this Shtar is only worth 50, not $100. And then Nebuch, he passed away. So he is not able to make the Shvuah. What Shvuah would he have made? His Shvuah was, I recall that I only got paid $50 and you still owe me $50. Can the Yorshim make that Shvuah? No, because the Yorshim don't know whether he was paid 50, paid 100, paid nothing. The only thing that is they can go and make is Shvuah say Yorshim. See, Yorshim is born Shvuah, Yorshim in Neutlin. Hey! Didn't they say according to Rav and Shmuel, Ein od amoyer Shmuel abanav? And since the father's Shvuah would have been, yes, I was poigim as a shtar, but the other 50 was not paid, so how can the Yorshim make a Shvuah? So Yorshim shall be kanu abba. Why? Because this is already a different case than what we were talking until now.
Classic of Rav and Shmuel.
So therefore says now Rav Nachman, although I have Rav and Shmuel's halacha of our Mishnah, I will not expand it further to other cases like poigim ishtarai, and I will agree that we can paskin the Yorshin ishboim and Ibn. Oh, so once we heard that from Rav Nachman, that we will keep it as restrained and as limited as possible. So I have another two cases. Ahud Shavik v'Shavik Arva. There was a situation where the loiva passed away, but he left over an orev. Orev, of course, meaning a guarantor. Okay, so again, the Chariot have the same setup, that the Malva has to go and swear against the Orev and say that this Shtar was never paid, and then if he passes away, then the children will have to make a Shvuah that we don't know, Shli Bekad no Abba. So Rapapa the Meimah, Namit Loi Loisef Alohu, say that this is exactly just like this Poygimish Toroi, that this is also, we're not going to extend the Rav and Shmuel to this case, and we'll let the Yorshim go and be Shvuah Sa Yorshim, Nishboim Benoitlin, they'll be able to collect. So thought Rav Papa. Amalei Funa Bereir Yeshua Rav Papa. Tell me, Otu Arva La Basri Yasmi Ozel. After all, the Orev is not going to stand still and pay out on his guarantee, and then say, okay, I have to pay. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to turn around, he's going to go now to the Esoimim of the Loive to try to collect from them. Is therefore, Otu Arva La Basri Yasmi Ozel. That being the case, the Orev is just, if you will, an intermediary, an alter ego for the original Loiva, and so therefore the halacha of Rav and Shmuel would continue to apply, even though there's this extra individual Orev thrown in the mix. But it doesn't change the basic psak of Rav and Shmuel, and this is not what Rav Nachman meant, Havad Lo Yisav Allah, because it's really one and the same. And who the Shavak Chacham, a person passed away, the Shavak Acha. And instead of leaving children as Yisayim, he left brothers as Yisayim. Nebuchadnezzar had no kids, and he had a brother. Or maybe he had daughters, but that's a separate story. Okay, so he left over a brother. So, Ramin Bachamel Meimer, until now we were talking about sons, Yarshim. We were not talking of brothers. So let's not expand it to the case of the Ach. Omle Rava, Mali Shalei Pekadni Abba, Umali Shalei Pekadni Ochi. He's saying the same Shvuas HaYorshim applies. Really what Rav is saying essentially is, it doesn't say in our Mishnah that the Shvuas HaYorshim belong to children. Yorshim are the ears of the estate, whoever those ears happen to be. Exactly, if there are no children and no brothers, well, the father would go before the brothers. When happens to no father and no brothers, we go to the grandfather. In other words, whoever the ears happen to be, whoever they are, they will all say, Shlei Pekadnu HaMes. Whoever the mess was, he did not tell us in advance that he paid it or that it was paid, and we didn't find a shoyver. So therefore, the shvuah of Yoshim is not a shvuah on children. Shvuah of Yoshim means on the ears. So therefore, this is not a case of the loy lahoisef Allah. With this, we've concluded that shtickle now, and now we start Umrav Choma Hashli Itmer Hilchas Aloy Kirav Ushmu Veloy Kirav Lo. So we had that dispute on the Umid Aleph. Hi Dina, the Ovid Kirav Shmuel, Ovad. The Ovid Kirav Lozer, Ovad. Since we don't have a full-fledged psak, remember, according to Rav Nachman, this really doesn't apply, because we don't paskin like Rav Shmuel, we don't paskin like Rav Lozer, we paskin like Rav Yosef, that holds Yachloiku. But remember, Rav Nachman on the Omer Aleph did not want to take a position. If you hold like Rav Shmuel, if you hold like Rav Shmuel, Isa, Gesundheit, you know, I'm not going to argue with you. So in those regions where they paskin like Rav Shmuel, fine. Those regions where paskin like Rav Lozer, it's also fine. There is no clear-cut psak and Shulchan Aruch what to do at this point. And Omer Rapapa, therefore Rapapa said, Hai shtar di asmi, if you saw him leave over a shtar, le mikra karina le vleg buya magvinim bay. If you have this type of situation where mace loive bechayin malva, so the malva was already mechuyiv to make a shvuah, and then nebuch the malva passed away, and now his children are on the scene, and they cannot make the same shvuah as their father. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, case is closed, because ain't other mother shvuah about him. According to Blazer, no, we can continue prosecuting and have the children make a shvuah sayarshim, since in those cases where it hasn't been decided, it says, Rav Papa, Haishtara, Diyasmi, when you don't know how the Bezin's going to decide, Loi Mikra Karinle, don't tear it up and say this is worthless. Loi Gvinim Magvinim Bey, but don't go and try to collect with it either. Agvuy Loi Magvinim Bey, don't misfeel like Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel said, you cannot be Goyva on the Shtar unless you bring other Edom, because the Shvuah Se Yarshim, you can't make a Shvuah Se Yarshim in the case of Meis Loi Vachayim Malva, because Ein Amor Shulva. Or Mikra Lekarinle, also do not go and tear up the shtar, the haidaina, the ovik reblazer, ovik, if he passing like reblazer, reblazer says you can collect on it, so don't tear it up because the shtar is still intact and wait. Meshisham, hopefully you'll be able to go, somebody will make a shvuah and you'll be able to get paid. So now the Gemara, the last shtickle on this dispute with Rabbi Shmuel, ahudaina, the ovik reblazer, was a dain, the passing like reblazer, not like Rav in Shmuel. Havetzur merabonon, Bimasei, there was a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham who lived in his shtad, who felt that Rav and Shmuel are much greater than Rav Lazar. We shouldn't follow Rav Lazar, we should follow Rav and Shmuel. It's Omalei. So he told him, I seen a Igris in my Rav, I'm going to go and bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael. The less Ilchas Rav Lazar, we don't paskin like Rav Lazar, we paskin like Rav and Shmuel, and therefore stop paskining like Rav Lazar. This dayan was not phased. And Omalei told him, when you bring such a letter from Eretz Yisrael, I'll look at it, I'll read it, and we'll see what they have to say. But until you bring that, I'm going to continue passing like a blazer. And that's what Rabbi Chama said before, that Haidain that wants to do like a blazer, Ovad, and wants to do like a Shmuel Ovad, so leave this dying alone if he wants to pass in like...
Chama said, you can pass like Rabbi Shmuel, but he personally passes like Rabbi Lozer, but does...
Also, come to Rav Chama, Amalei, Haidaina, the Ovid Kerb Lazar, Ovid, if you want to paskin like Rav Lazar, Gizim to hate, do whatever you want. You want to paskin like Rav Lazar is fine, you want to paskin like Rav Shmuel is fine, whatever you decide, because at this time, the final psak had not been issued yet. And we continue on. Now, Baruch Hashem, that was a bit of a challenging sugya, with a shvul. Without a shvul, it was challenging. So now we're going to do it much, much easier. Back in our Mishnah, it says, the Elu Nishboin Shaloi Betaina. The following make a shvuah, even though nobody was to'ein, nobody asked. Who are those people that make a shvuah shaloi b'taina? So we had a list of shutfim, and arisim, and a wife that was appointed, and a ben that was appointed over the estate to help out for the other brothers, etc. So Frey Timar, Artem b'shuftini askinan. Can you imagine a person comes into Bezdin, there is no pending court case, and he says, Bezdin, I just want you to know that I happen to be an apotropis, or I happen to be an oris, or I happen to be a shutif, I want to make a shvur. What's a shvur? That I didn't take a penny that didn't belong to me. Frank, are you talking about fools, about idiots? You're only going to come into Bezdin and make shvurs if somebody challenges you and says, you, shutif, you, oris, you, apotropis, you took money and you put it into your pocket and you didn't make a full accounting and, you know, I've lost you, you took away some money from me. So what are you talking about? Nishbon shloi b'tayna. Have the mahakik on the nishbon shloi b'tayna. Is bari el b'tayna shama. Oh, one shutif takes the other shutif to Bezdin and says, Bezdin,
I really don't know that there was any mischief, but I smell that there's a rat over here. It smells like to me. It doesn't add up. I just don't know how to add, to go subtract and add all of the expenses and all the income. So I don't really have a full-fledged taina, but I want the other shutif to go and give a final accounting, or at least make a shvua. Zokten to the Mishnah, ve'elin ishboin shaloi b'taina, without a taina's bari, just with a taina's shema. Who are those? A shutfa reason, etc. And then the Mishnah concludes also about a ben bias. Ben bias means the, let's say, the Bechor, there were 5 or 10 Yisoyimim, who is going to be in charge of the estate? He is the ben bias, he's the Gadol HaBayis. Doesn't have to be, but usually it's the Gadol. Okay, so what's the din? He also, if the other brothers suspect that he has taken some money on the side, he has to go and make a shvua. However, the Braisa says, Tana ben Baisha Umru, Loisha Nichlas V'yoytze Baraglav. If he's only a superficial, official apotropos in charge of the other Yisoyim. Exactly, but he didn't really do anything. Nichlas V'yoytze Baraglav, yeah, he inspects the property once a month to make sure that the building is still standing.
He just signs the checks, he doesn't actually
handle it. Oh, it does. In such a case. Hello, Ben Baisha Omer, Loish Nechliyotu Raglav. Then he does not have to make a shvua because he just went through
ceremonial.
The ceremony, the formalities. He's the one that had to pay the rent every month. But, you know, Ella Machnis Leipoyalim, Moitzli Poyalim, Machnis Leipayris, Moitzli Poyalis, is an under Maisa. If he really got into the guts of the thing, he was the one that was hiring the workers, he was the one that was firing the workers, he was the one that was buying payers for the children, he was the one that, when the property Baruch Hashem produced payers, he would go and be moist of those payers. In other words, he was, you know, full time.
Hands-on manager.
A hands-on manager. That's a different story. Then you can be Mechayev Meshua. So when it says Ben Bayis, you Mechayev Meshua, Lo Yishe Nichla, not if he just did the ceremonial stuff, the rituals, but he was really involved. Pray to Yomara, Umayishna Hani. What's the reason why these five in the Mishnah, the Shifan, the Aris, and the Apotropsin, why do they have to make such a
shvua? What's the heter?
What's the heter? Because they say, I'm working full time. And these guys are
sitting in Kolel and doing nothing and sitting at home.
Or sitting in the bar and drinking a beer. And because of that, I have to. So therefore, I'll take a couple extra bucks.
Skim
some of the proceeds. Amar of Yosef and Yumi Amar of Nachman. Fushiyesh Taina Benayish Dekesef. Even though we said, the taina can be a taina shema, but it has to be a shema of at least shtei kesef. He can't come into bed and say, I don't know. Could be he doesn't owe me a nickel, could be he owes me $1 million. He has to say, based on my own analysis of the records and based on my understanding of the business, he owes me at least shtei kesef.
Is that similar to a more of a mixas that we had near the parish?
Right, the Amora Kiman, you're passing like Shmuel, that Shmuel said that the minimum taina for a small claims court.
64 prutos.
64, remember
what's 65, not
exactly,
Rav.
Exactly. So, Shtei Kesef. Are you passing like Shmuel against Rav? V'atani Reb Chiya, don't you remember the Gemara we had before? Reb Chiya brought a price, let's see you the Rav. So, are we passing like Rav against Shmuel? That has to be a taina of 2 Kesef plus 1 pruto. That's 65 and that's 64. Says Gemara, you're right, says Rav Nachman. Eima kfiris taina karab. Not v'hu shiyesh taina, meaning that the apotropos or the other fellow is asking for 2 kesef. He's asking for 65 for 2 kesef plus 1. And the other person is being koifer and says, of the 65, I certainly do not owe you 64. Maybe the pruta, but not the 64. So that's the minimum for purposes of having jurisdiction in the court. Not that the minimum jurisdiction is that he's looking for 64. He's looking for 65 like Rav. Rav Nachman said, "Vushi yishtanas benayu shtei kesef." That means that his kfira was shtei kesef, and that's takan the tana benayu. He's saying you owe me 65. He says I only owe you 1. 64
is the difference.
Oh, that's the tana benayu of the shtei kesef. Okay, finally, cholku ashutfa arisim. So, what does it say in the Mishnah that shutfa men arisim, once the chaluk has taken place, you can challenge and ask for a shvua and an accounting before the actual disbursement of the funds. But once the funds have been dispersed by the Shutfim, the Arisim, it's already too late. You should have raised these issues before. You can't appeal it now.
But you asked about Taina.
But you had to have the Taina of at least the Shtei Kesef, or at least the Shtei Kesef plus the Pruta. But once that has been done, if they did raise it, they didn't raise it, after Chaluk has taken place,
it's over.
It's all over. You can't do anything more. However, said the Mishnah, there is one Eitzah. If you still want the Shutfim, the Aris, to make a Shvua, what happens in this Galgalei Shvua Mimokim Acher? Meaning, the Shut of the Oris owes him money. Let's assume that there was, let's say, a moedim and mikta situation, or there was a 1/8 situation. So anyway, the shut of oris owes him a shvua. It can be megalgal on him. Since you're making a shvua, the gabid alvah, I want you to make a shvua now, vis-a-vis the arisus, or vis-a-vis the shutfas, that you didn't pack in any money.
And there's no statute of limitations. This can go back, as you said
exactly
earlier.
Right. Exactly right.
Whenever they had dealings.
Only by ksuba up to 25 years. What does that mean? What happens if the original shvua, which is the springboard for the Gilgal Shvua, was not a D'oraisa Dika Shvua? Like a Shvua Sessus, or a similar type of Shvua. In other words, all those cases that we had in our Mishnah of the Nishboi and the Neutlin, which are D'rabbanans. Oh, okay. So he only has to make a Shvua D'rabbanan. Ah, once he's making a Shvua D'rabbanan, let's be Megalgal on him.
Is there
a content
to the content?
Exactly. Ma Legalgal B'drabbanan. Toshima. So we have a Bryce. He was a loive before Shemitah. Guess what happened? Shemitah came, wiped away the whole halva, because now he didn't make a prusbul. Now he became a shutav and aris, and now he suspects something is amiss, and therefore he brings a challenge in court and says, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that he at least pocketed 2 kesef plus 1 pruta, like Rav holds, and the other guy denies it, etc. So now the shutav yaris, what is the shutav yaris going to have to do? Then they're going to have to make now the shvuas hashutav and shvuas harisin. Ain megalgalin, you can't be megalgal now about that old halva'a that took place, and that
pre-shvies.
Was pre-shvies. Why not? Taima l'choy, because love men erev shvias, the asher shvias avkate, because the shvias wiped away
exactly.
Not only the loan, but also any shvuas
right.
Which were attached to that loan. It's all
now,
exactly. Shmita went and wiped it out. So let's be medayik. Hashar shnei shvua. What would happen if it would be not shmita year? It's the first, second, third year of the shmita, whatever. And there was a loan, and then a year later he became a shutaf or an oris. And now he wants him to make a shvua as hashutf and arisin. And now he says, you know what? If you're making a shvua and a shutf and arisin, chaparain on that loan that's still outstanding, that was not wiped away by Shmita, I want to be megalgal that loan on you. So you're wondering, why doesn't he just call him a mechayiv to make a shvua on the loan itself? It's talking pre-Hesses days, before Shvua Hesses was instituted. And therefore, only Rav Nachman, the times of Rav Nachman, and therefore before that, no. You only have to make a shvua if there was an eid echad, or if he's a moedim mitzvah, and you didn't have that, so he wants a mechayiv mishvua. So you know what? Let's make a gilgal shvua together with the shvua on the arisus on the shutfis. Oh, the whole arisus of shutfis is a shvua derabanan, and you're saying the only reason I wasn't megalgal the halva because it was wiped out by shmita. But if it wouldn't be for shmita, I would be able to be megalgal. Also, I can be poishin my shayla, you can be megalgal, even the basis of a shvua d'rabbanan. So, no, loy teima, don't make that diuk, hashar shnei shvua megalgalin. Ela eima, let's make a faker to diuk. What means a faker to diuk? Not that he was originally a malva loyve before shmita, and post shmita they became oris or shutviv, but rather nazi shudvay oris erev shvias. That was before shmita. And of course, Shemitah doesn't wipe away shutfis and arisus. This happens to be, this is not a loan. This is a regular
equity obligation,
and partnerships, etc., etc. Ereshis. Ul matzah shviyas and then matzah yontim, not matzah yontim, matzah shmita. Love heimenu. And now there's a dispute regarding that halva, and there was an eid echad, and or there was a moedim and mixis. So he has to make a shvua min ha-toira. So you can megalgal on that, the shutav and arisus. So you're going to go and tell me, why didn't he go and require him to make a shvua shutvis arisus directly? Because it's talking like in our Mishnah, the kvar cholku. They already made a distributed all the proceeds of the shutvis and arisus.
But it bothered him, there's something missing in the book.
And he's now bothered by it, and he wants him to megalgal shvua. Ah, so that go and make that diuk. That if it was halva first, and shutav and aris later, ain megalgal. However, if it would be, what's the reason why? Because the Shemitah went and washed away the Gantz Halva. But if it was the other way around, it was Shutzvah and Rizis first, and Halva later, then you could go and be Megalgal, and that's not a problem. That's the Shvur D'Araisa, the Shvur of Halva, the Shvur D'Araisa. So we cannot be Poishin Arshayla. Everything, no, you cannot say, make that deal, because you forgot. If you continue on in that same Braisa, from Behejik Tonila, then nasli should to be oris erev shviyas. Ulamot shviyas love a menu megalgalin. Oh, so that says Beferish. And the reason why you can be Megalgal, of course, is because the Shemitah did not wipe away the Shuta for Aris, the Shuta for Arisus, and now he has to make a Shvud. You're right, so you're Megalgal. So don't say then that that was the Diuk you're going to go make from the Reisha.
You have to say it, it's explicit.
So what Diuk would you therefore make? That it's only because it was Shemitah. But if it would be Shar Shnei Shavua, then you would be able to go and be Megalgal, even though you're starting off with a shvuah of shutfis and arisus, which is drabanan, you can still be megalgal the shvuah of the halva on it. So you're right, shmamino megalgal drabanan, shmamino with taka poishin or shayla, that even though the original shvuah is only a rabbinic shvuah, in this case you do make a drabanan, you can go be megalgal on that shvuah drabanan, other shvuahs as well.
So shvuah does not shatter. I mean, if you have a prisbol. Then the prisbol protects the loan and also protects the shvua that would a derivative of that loan.
Exactly okay. Right. But if there's no prisbol, just like the loan goes away, the shvua goes away. Am Ravuna, lakoil megalgalin chutz misocher she'im megalgalin. Even though we just concluded now megalgal medraban. Now we had in our Mishnah a whole bunch of nishboim v'noitlins, right? We started off with socher, and then we talk about the nigzal and the nechbal and the chenop and kosoi and the shvua that we're going to transfer from the right person is choshen al shvua, the whole 9 yards. Those are all shvuas of nishboim v'noitlins. That's all there was. Says Rav Huna, you can use those as a springboard for a gilgal shvua, but not in the case of the socher. They call megalgal chutz misocher she'ein megalgal. Now you're wondering why is a socher? So Rashi points out, because if you remember back on Mem Hey Omer Aleph, the last two lines, the Gemara said, why did we in fact put the Shvua on the socher and not on the Baal HaBas?
Because Baal HaBas is Torah with all the
Aleph. So Frank Timor of Aleph, this Svara is such a good Shvua, it's such a good Svara, why are you even Mechayiv at all the socher to make a Shvua? He should just go and claim and get paid. Because we want to appease the balabas, he shouldn't feel that he's being ripped off. So you make a shvua. So this is not a real shvua that he's nishvoy v'noitlin. That's mikoyach the shvua. He's noitel.
It's to frighten the sachir and to appease the balabas.
It's to appease the balabas. So that being the case, says Yimar, so that's not a real meikori, a real shvua that the chowun mezakin. It's just for window treatment. It's to make him feel good. Okay, I had to pay out, but
it's theatrical. It's not real.
Oh, theatrical. Very good. Says Dr. Yimar, that's why sachir she ain't megalgalin. There you can be megalgal because that was not a
real shvua.
If you look at the second line of the Rashi. Not a real shvua. It's theatrical. So therefore, you can't use that as a springboard. Rav Chisda Omar back to the Gemara says exactly the same thing, but he uses different language. It's lakoil ein mekilin chutz misocher de mekilin. What means mekilin? Mekilin means to take away the din of gilgal shvua, but instead we're not mekil, but we are machmir, and we do. We are Mechayiv, the one that makes a Shavua, to make a Gilgal Shavua at all. The only time that we are not Megalgal is Chutz Misocher. They're Mekil. Since the whole basis of that Shavua was, as we said, theatrical, not a real Shavua. So there we're Mekil, and we will not be Mechayiv him to go and do a Gilgal Shavua. So now, both Rav Huna and Rav Chizda said the same halacha. They just used different. He's spoken in the negative.
They weren't talking to each other at the time. So
Frank Yom Benai, is there enough Kimina? Yes, in Kimina, Leftoyach Loi. What means Leftoyach Loi? What happens if the Toyin wants the other person to make a Gilgul Shvua? Look at the Rashi, Leftoyach Loi. Fourth line. Em Loi Ton HaTeveya, she a Galgul Olav. What happens if the Teveya didn't say, let's add a Gilgul Shvua? Yiftachloi Bezin Gilgus. And then the Bezin itself will say, gotta make a Gilgul Shvua. Lamandiyam Megalgalin, that's according to Mandiyam that holds you, make a Gilgul Shvua. Lamandiyam ain't Megilin. Im Toan Gilgul, ain't Megilin Olav, Ella Megalgalin. Fim Loi Toano, ain't Lono Leftoyachloi. So what Rashi is saying is that this Ikibinayu is not in the Socher case. Everybody agrees the Socher case, you cannot go and use that for Gilgul Shvua. But in a case where there is a real Gilgul Shvua, because even if it's a Shvua Derabanan, and we want to go be Megalgal Shvua, yes, we're going to do it. But we Bezdin, are we going to speak up on behalf of the one that's
Mektoan,
on behalf of the Shtoan, and say, not only is he making Shvua, let's throw in the kitchen sink, be Megalgal Shvua. If he requires, if he asks for it, sure, he's entitled to it. For Amr Isha Amen Amen, you can go and do it. But if the other person is silent, he doesn't ask for Gilgashwar, we're not going to be Poiseach, we're not going to suggest it. He has to open his mouth. So that's why, in one case, it's called the Gadlan, because he's requesting it. In the other case, it's Ein Mekilin. We're not going to be Mekil, not to be Mechayiv. We'll be Mechayiv the Gilgashwar, but only if he asks for it. If he doesn't ask for it, then we'll be Mekil, and we won't say anything. Finally, it says in the Mishnah Ashvi is Mishamet, the Shmit is not only Mishamet alone, but it's also Mishamet, the Shvur, which is attached alone, the derivative. Minu Anamili, how do I know? Amar Gino, Amar Avdi, Amar Krah. V'zeh Dvar HaShmita, Shomoy Kobal Mashi Yavi. What does it say, Dvar? V'zeh HaShmita. Dvar means Afele Dibur Mishamet is Mishamet, even the Shvur, which is attached to, which runs along with that loan.
In the case of the Ein Mekilin and
okay, and have a look. Thank you all for listening. Have a look.
Hold on. Yes, is Bezdin.